Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and as you know, whenever I can, I like to bring information to the airwaves to inform, to educate, to enlighten us and empower us so that we are more alert and aware for our own well-being and those that we love. Well, this is a subject you've heard me talk about before, and Dr. Carrie Crofton has put together a book that is one of the most extensively informative publications that I've been fortunate enough to come across regarding wireless radiation. And her book is titled Wireless Radiation Rescue, Safeguarding Your Family from the Risks of Electropollution. Dr. Crofton, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna.
I was so intrigued with your information because this book has really brought together a lot of people, including yourself, that are starting to clang the cymbals of pay attention to cell phones, to a lot of the equipment that we are using today. What was it that got you interested in this? Why did you feel like this is something you really wanted to investigate?
I used to work in cardiac clinics and did education programs, and that was my main area of concern. I'm a health educator and writer. I wrote a book on heart health, but it was really the concern at my own children's school with the wireless network, cell tower nearby, plus they were close to, it's not funny, close to high voltage power lines. And I knew about the incidence of leukemia, the proximity to power lines, and began to research what the electromagnetic radiation health effects would be from the other exposures, and was horrified to see that there is clear evidence of harm. And as a parent, I needed to take action. And of course, now it's led to quite a mission.
Oh, yes, that's an understatement. It's actually, I'll share with you and my listeners, here in the state of Washington, there was, and I think it was just in the last 6 months, there was a big drive on to build these huge wireless towers. And they were going to be put into residential neighborhoods. And this was down in the Vancouver, Washington area. And I found out from an associate that this was being done, and all of the people in the areas were really, really concerned. And they thought they were just going to be able to come in and put them in. Well, there was such an upheaval by the citizenry that they opted to put these cell towers in forested areas away from the residential sections and the schools. And this was quite a coup, and I let them know about your book, in addition to some other materials that I've received this past year. And it really helped these people to give a very strong case for why they shouldn't be built there. This is a subject, I mean, just about everybody has a cell phone. You see people, I mean, they're talking to themselves. They've got these little things in their ears, and they're talking to themselves. It used to be you'd think they were nuts. They belonged in a sanitarium. Now you can't tell the crazies from the non-crazies because they're all walking around talking to themselves. But we're making light of this for the moment, but there are effects that are going into the brain that we haven't a clue about. And you've gathered together some phenomenal individuals here. One of them said that three different types of tumors have been implicated following 10 or more years of cell phone use. This is by Louis Selson, founder and publisher of Microwave News. This is scary stuff.
It is scary stuff, and that's why I moved quickly from seeing the evidence of harm to what we can do to keep the convenience of these electronics. We live in the digital age. There are many benefits. It's not going away. But we need to know how to use these devices and conveniences more safely. So I also brought in the world's leading technical experts and came up with a risk reduction and protection plan that we can use in our own homes and schools and workplaces and significantly reduce the risks.
There are some points of information that you have in here. You say if you spend a lot of time in front of a computer in a wireless environment on your mobile phone, traveling in high exposure environments like aircraft, you don't have to feel anything necessarily, but you are really being exposed to all kinds of radiation effects. And I know I talked with someone who's in my local post office, and Mary was telling me she's a retired nurse. And she used to work in a specific area, and she said, this was back in the 90s. We had patients come in that had tumors, and we could put a cell phone up to their ear and follow the pattern of what had stimulated the tumor in the person's head. Now, the medical profession knew about this. Why is it taking so long for this to come out publicly?
There are many reasons. One is that really the key nub of this issue and the greatest challenge we have is that the regs, the regulations, the safety standard guidelines are not in line with the science. They were last updated in the late 90s. They're not protecting us, but most consumers assume that they are. And when you challenge these installations, whether it's a cell tower antenna, you question about the wireless radiation levels in your children's school, the response is from industry, from health officials, from school boards, these radiation levels fall well within the government standards. However, there's clear evidence of harm at these so-called low levels that are approved in the government safety standards. Nobody is monitoring the effects, nor did they test the accumulation of these exposures, nor did they test these effects on children, and the leading experts will tell you and why our children are most vulnerable. So that's the key part of my message is I can't wait, and I suggest that you don't wait for the government standards to be brought in line with the science. But really, we need to take steps to reduce the exposures and risks for our own families in our own homes.
Now, before we go into things that we can be attentive to, I want to quote from your book. This is Dr. Heather McKinney, who's a researcher that really is concerned about this. She said, by the time the desired scientific proof from long-term studies makes it to publication, technology and levels of exposure will have already moved beyond that which was originally studied, making the results arguably, to some, obsolete. Most researchers often do not have time to spread the word of their findings to the general public. They must continue with their research and publish in academic journals. Unfortunately, public awareness and education are often missed in this cycle. Thank you for gathering material from leading scientists and clinicians and for being such a good message carrier. Now, you started getting involved in this when? About 2005, 2006?
Yes. And I've been doing it day and night ever since.
My goodness. Now, you have yourself replaced your cordless phones with safer corded landlines. Now, anybody listening to this is going to say, you are out of your mind. Where are you going to find phones? I mean, we are so accustomed, everywhere you go to buy a phone, they're all wireless.
Well, most of them are, it's true. However, you can still find corded landlines because They're the only things that work in a power outage, and they haven't done away with them completely, so that's a good thing. And they are really one of the best things that you can do. I just wanted to add something to, after I had talked to one of the researchers, we were talking about Dr. McKinney's quote about that, you know, people are looking for irrefutable scientific proof.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the, this man is one of the leading scientists in the world, really, and what he said to me is, by the time we have scientific consensus, that is, if we ever do, we're going to have lost a lot of people. So I said to him, well, not my children, and that's why I'm fighting for yours as well. So you're right in when you tell people that the cordless phones, and this was a really and a wireless wake-up call for me. I knew about cell phones, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea about the proven hazards of the wireless network. I had a wireless router in my home, of course. And really, even when I had the assessment done, when I had the Ghostbusters in to test all the radio frequency radiation levels from all my favorite devices, I really couldn't believe it was the cordless phones. And I must say, those were the last to go.
The cordless phones. Those. Now, you'd mentioned that you were amazed at the amount of radiation that was coming out of a wireless router.
Yes, it is high, and the problem with the wireless router is that it is radiating 24/7, the same as the base of the cordless phone. And the real sadness here is that many people are not connecting the dots. That the reason that they're not sleeping, of course, there's many reasons we don't sleep, but one of the reasons, and one that's really easy to remedy, could be that digital cordless phone beside your bed, and it could be the wireless router that you have in your downstairs study, which, of course, is radiating your house and the neighbors, and that there are safer solutions for both of these. And I've had many people report back after, you know, reading the book and following this four-step plan that they are sleeping better and that there are many other benefits. These are not difficult things to do.
All right, let's talk about some of the things that we can do. I was in a neighborhood last night, and I was driving around. This was an older section of town, and here are these huge, huge towers that have these phenomenal electrical cables, and all of these houses are directly under them. And I thought to myself, there is a lot of energy affecting these homes, and many of these people, I am sure, are going to be using computers. We'll have wireless phones. First, let me ask the question, what could someone do to have their environment checked to see what the radiation levels are in the environment they're working in?
There's two ways. One is that there are professionals who do this kind of assessment. You can do this yourself, but you have to make sure that you have the right meters to test the various exposures. Not terribly complicated, but it's crucial. For example, if you're going to measure the electromagnetic field around your heating pad or your fridge or your electric stove, you use a Gauss meter. If, however, you want to measure the radiation, the radio frequency radiation that comes from your cordless phone, your wireless network, your mobile, your cell phone, you have to use a radio frequency meter. And the other challenge is that unless you have a really good radio frequency meter, some of the readings are so high, like in some of the new 6.0 digital phones or the handheld PDAs, BlackBerries, iPhones, etc., the levels are so high that some of these meters may not read them and give you a false low reading.
you talk, now what would we look up if we wanted to find somebody to come out and make an evaluation? So many people have their home offices, and they've got their printers, they have maybe two or three computers running, a printer is a computer too. So maybe you have a total of four computers in a room plus wireless phones. Where would you go? Who would you call? I mean, what kind of a title would they have?
Well, I have a list in the back of the book. I'm just looking here to see. You're in Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
Most of your listeners.
My listeners are all over the country.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, in any case, there's a group called the Biobiology or Building Biology. They have environmental consultants, and they have a website that you can look up and find out. So these people are doing a technical assessment of the electromagnetic fields. You don't, however, want a regular electrician unless he or she is aware of this, because they will say, well, the electromagnetic fields are fine, you know, your wiring's good, nobody's going to get an electric shock. But this is another whole view of what we're looking at here.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Even if you don't have an assessment done, the assessment is very helpful. Yes, if you are living near high voltage power lines, you're living near a cell tower antenna. However, there are many people who are fighting the installation of these in their towns and near their schools, which they should fight. Never underestimate the power of concerned parents. However, they really need to look to their own homes as well. If your child is sleeping and living in a wireless environment at home, their immune system's never getting a chance to heal and repair at night, which is one of the functions of sleep. So that's why I did in this plan a room by room, so you can go through, get a sense of what are the devices that are known to cause harmful effects, even at these so-called low levels, and what the safer solutions are for each.
There is a Hans Scheiner in your book, and he said, he shows a picture of a man driving that has like a Bluetooth in his ear. He said, when we are exposed to the radiation from mobile phones and other wireless technology, we must consider the intermediate massive impairment of our microcirculation, and therewith the oxygen supply of our inner organs and brain, caused by the tendency of our red blood cells to stick together under the influence of radio waves. And there is a particular paper written on this. And in addition to this, Professor Kind, the Hygienic Department of Vienna University, found a high increase of heart attacks, strokes, thrombosis, and embolism in people who live near cell towers' transmitter masts. They've also found in some research that it is a contributing factor to the development of cancer. We have this, and you have so many good tips in here, so that's really what I want to address. And I'm not a big cell phone user. I have one, but I don't use it very often. Now, my husband, after I'd read the book, he has a habit, like most men do. He likes pockets in his shirts. So he has a pocket over his left chest area near the heart, and often he'll put his cell phone there. Or he'll put it in his back pocket or in his front pocket. And I've said, don't put it there. Don't put it there, because they found that there's a risk of testicular cancer. There also is the risk of the cell phone when it's over the heart and it's on, that there is the factor of that affecting the heart. What can you add to that? What can people change in the way of habits when it comes to the cell phone?
Well, you're right, Donna, and don't give up on your husband. We have to keep coaching people, because most people can't feel the effects. You know, there is a cardiologist that contributed to our book, a Dr. Steven Sinatra, and he says the heart, is being electrical in nature, is particularly vulnerable to this radiation from all mobile devices, including a wireless network. I did a lecture with him recently, and he wouldn't let them put a wireless mic on him for the interview. And so you're right in terms of when you carry this on your body, you're being affected. We're particularly horrified with pregnant women who carry mobile phones or keep them on, you know, or even they have, I saw a stroller, and it has a place to put your mobile phone. Well, you know, the safe distance for a child from a mobile phone is probably 20 or 30 feet. It's certainly not 6 inches. And so the eye of awareness is key. Once you realize that there is this plume of intense radiation within a foot of this circle of the antenna, whether you can see in the antenna or not, then instinctively you're not going to hold it up against your head. You're going to use it away from your body with a speakerphone. You're not going to carry it on your belt or in your pocket. The other thing people need to know in this awareness is that as long as your mobile device is on, even on standby, you're receiving a little jolt of radiation, which you probably don't feel, every 3 to 5 minutes because it has to keep in contact with the local tower antenna.
Microwave ovens were banned in the Soviet Union in 1976 after researchers discovered that the devices caused a breakdown in human and animal energy fields. There was, what was it, in the 60s or 70s, the use of microwaves as a weapon, people being made sick by them. All of this, we found out much later, Americans and others were being used as guinea pigs by the Russian government. They were testing on them, and they couldn't see them. There was nothing there that made them aware of it until they found out about the research later. But they knew that something was affecting them, and it turned out to be radio waves, microwaves, things like this. Now, the microwave oven is almost in everybody's home. It's a convenience. Has this improved as a machine? It's been around a long time. And what can we do? Because there's people that are not going to give it up. What would you recommend with a microwave oven?
I haven't used a microwave oven for many, many years because it affects the food. It affects the nutrient value of the food you're eating, first of all. But then when I found out about the radiation levels, I really didn't want to get one. And I tested, I have a professional level, this radio frequency, microwave radiation. Now, these are thermal levels. Obviously, this can, you know, cook your hot dog. But I took a reading, and I wrote about this in the book. I had a friend who was pregnant, and I said, you know, it's really not considered safe to use that microwave, you know, when you're pregnant, certainly not when you're holding your child in your arms. And she said, well, I stand back from it. So I said, well, that's a good thing, because proximity is a big, big difference of, you know, how close you are, how far away you are, because these fields drop off. So I said, I'll come and test it. And I was backed up about 25 feet from the microwave oven when it was on, and I was still getting an elevated level. Now, obviously not as bad as when I was at 3 feet, but this machine was still, this meter was still blaring. So if you think you have to have a microwave oven, put it in the garage, and when you need to defrost your roast or whatever you're using your microwave for. But I really encourage people, you know, they put them on top of the stoves right at head level. And just realize that when that's on, with for you or your child, and maybe they're just heating their, you know, pizza or whatever they're doing, you're, you know, heating up your coffee, you are putting that very strong field of radiation. It has effects whether you feel it or not. And that's a really easy one. Just use a kettle, you know, heat something in a regular oven, put a little water in your saucepan, put a lid on the top, heat something up. They're much safer solutions than a microwave oven.
You're talking about headsets also, and I was talking jokingly about the people that are talking. They've got these things in their ear. You hardly go anywhere anymore where people are not on the cell phones. They have the, maybe they've got the headsets. Now there are the laws, like in the state of Washington, You cannot put the phone up to your ear. You have to have a headset on of some kind if you're going to talk on your cell phone. And there's a lot of people that are on cell phones constantly. Tell us about what we can do for safety relative to headsets. Is there something there that is going to be more protective? Or, what, you know, there's just this reality. You're not going to get people to go backwards.
True. However, some people will significantly cut down their exposures when they really feel the effects. Remember, my background is in heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
And after somebody's had a heart attack, you'd be surprised, or you wouldn't be surprised, how incredibly motivated they are because they've been scared. Heart attack comes like a bolt from the blue. And they would take your health advice where you would just be whistling in the wind if you're talking to people before they've had a heart attack. So I understand that. It's very hard for people to hear this message, this wireless wake-up call. And my concern is a lot of people are using the wireless headsets, these things plugged right in their ear where the radiation goes directly through the ear canal to the brain, thinking that this is safer. Now, yes, it's safer in terms of hands-free, distracted driving. However, it's not cutting down the radiation. In fact, you can be increasing because you're picking up ambient levels, and if you have that thing powered on in your ear. I'll tell you a shocking thing that one of the scientists said, and I don't know why I'm telling you. You've got this out of me, Donna. It must be like Oprah. You've wheedled us. I have never said this. I've done so many interviews, but somehow I'm going to tell you this, and I hope your listeners don't turn us off, is when some of these researchers, I belong to this international network now, and they were talking about teens sleeping on their cell phones and people using these wireless earpieces in their ear. And one of the researchers, a European, he said, it's really sad, you know. They'll be the first to go.
Hmm.
So if you know a teen who is sleeping on his cell phone, people are using their mobile phones as alarm clocks. This is really not a good idea. I'm actually working on an article for the gift-giving season about the digital gifts you want to avoid and the ones you want to choose instead. And one of them is, instead of using your cell phone as an alarm, get yourself a small battery-powered alarm clock.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of using these wireless earpieces, you're much better to use a low-powered, the lower, not the the highest, flashiest, fanciest, multi-function mobile, but a simple, good, basic cell phone. They work great. Use it on a speakerphone. Keep it powered off whenever you can, and don't carry it on your body, even on standby.
Well, as I said, I know because of a nurse that worked in a hospital, the brain tumors that they saw when cell phones came out, it was on the rise. And she said it just was a factor there. So when you get this information from people in the medical community who are seeing this on a daily basis, this is not made up stuff. Also, there was a story in your book about the electromagnetic fields in aircraft cabins. And I travel, and I know as soon as that plane lands, even before it takes off, people are on their cell phones. They're talking to individuals. And you have a statement in here that there is a lot of negative with people using computers on the planes, what it affects people, how it affects the passengers and the crew of the plane. And this
you're absolutely right, Donna.
Wow.
Because it's when we land and everybody, you know, goes online or makes their calls, that's a problem. The really concern is now that aircraft are going Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
So the next time there are some airlines, mentioning no names, who even broadcast proudly which flights have wireless. And whenever I make a reservation, it's the same when I make a reservation at a hotel. I said, I'm looking for a flight that does not have Wi-Fi. Oh, all our flights, our whole airline, we've got all our planes gone Wi-Fi. So, and they don't know who they've taken on when they start to tell me there's no problem. I said, would you like me to list the problems for you? Yeah, there's cardiac effects, there's cognitive impairment. This is not what you want in your pilot or co-pilot or anyone on board. So we must alert the airlines. This is really not a good idea. Nor do we want to make our vehicles radiation hotspots with Bluetooth speakers and Bluetooth everything. Nobody is minding the store here in terms of our health effects. And another device that we must alert people to is baby monitors. Honestly, one of the technical experts said to me, when will this madness end? He said, the last place you want to put these digital baby monitors is anywhere near a baby.
That's scary. That is really scary. Well, I'll tell you what, Kelly, your book is just absolutely incredible. The information for women who are pregnant, how they should not have computers on their lap near where they're carrying their children. It just is not effective. But you back it up with some fabulous, fabulous research. This is not pie in the sky. Now, you have a website, radiationrescue.org, radiationrescue.org. And I just think the information in your book is so valuable. And I know that there are ways to improve this. Cell phones are not going to go away, but we have to be able to find a way to develop technology that will enable us not to disable us and to make us ill and to create health problems that we don't need. But we want to enable ourselves to enjoy a good quality of life in a healthy way. So this is good information. Wireless Radiation Rescue, my guest, Dr. Carrie Crofton. I think I said Kelly, and I apologize for that. It's Dr. Carrie Crofton. This is a must-read book, and if it gives you the willies, well, it may be a good idea because it's something you need to pay attention to. Your health is precious. It is priceless, and especially with children and in your communities, you need to understand why it is important for you to be attentive to these technologies that are not regulated. Nobody's paying attention to this. And if nothing else, you can look to other parts of the world that have had big effects, and it's growing stronger every day. Again, Dr. Carrie Crofton, thank you for being my guest. Your website, radiationrescue.org, is a wonderful site, and I hope that people will take the opportunity to examine it. Information on computer screens, all kinds of stuff, is available to you in this book, Wireless Radiation Rescue. Thank you again, Dr. Crofton, and I wish you the best of success in all that you do.
Thank you, Donna, and thank you for alerting and enlightening your listeners.
My pleasure always. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, and give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. So often it takes a real individual, and I know we've got a caller, an individual like Dr. Crofton, to be brave enough to stand up. And I had a wonderful woman who has been a guest on my show whose husband died because of radiation exposure from working on cell phone towers. And he learned about it through a particular specialist in California because he was very ill for a long time. These are things that are important. And when I bring them forward to you, it's not to make you fearful. It is to make you curious and say, wait a minute, let me find out about this. Because it's only when we become informed. We're also busy. Aren't you busy? Aren't you going 10,000 miles an hour doing all kinds of stuff? I know I am. But we have to understand that there's a lot of people doing a lot of things that really don't give a hoot about what affects what. And I've seen this in different environments throughout the world. And what makes a difference is when we as consumers take the position of saying, wait a minute, I want to know the truth. I want to find out what this is. So with someone like Dr. Crofton, who's a mother, she got involved with this because she had children, and often that's the case. Somewhere someone's had a circumstance affect them, and they say, you know what, I better check this out. And it's good. I'm grateful for those people because we can't be all things. So don't be afraid to read. Don't be afraid to check out her site, radiationrescue.org. Let's take our first caller of the day. And by the way, if you want to call in and chat with me today, 888-815-9756. Hi, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Oh, hi, Donna. My name is Paul, and I'm calling from Florida.
Hi, dear. Your name just evaporated away. I know you're on a cell phone. So what's your first name again?
My name is Linda.
Oh, Linda. Okay. I gotcha.
And I'm calling from Florida. Donna, I'm by Cocoa Beach.
Oh, beautiful place.
Actually, I'm by the beach right now listening to you.
Donna,
can I ask you a question, if I may?
Sure.
Unless you just have a message. I was procrastinating, but I finally filed today for chapter bankruptcy. Not that I was negligent. I had a plan in life. It didn't work out with the economy, and I also had I have a brother that let's just say he took away my financial security. So I procrastinated, but I realized I had to do it. So I filed. I'm in the process today of filing. Can you just tell me if it's going to be okay, or is there anything I should be doing that I'm not aware of?
Well, I think you're doing what you need to be aware of, and I think that if you have taken this stance, you need to know that you can build your life back, and your choice you have done, And that's all you need to do is understand this was your decision and you move on from there. There was an author that I had on about a month or so ago. Her name is Leanne Ryan. You might want to get her book. It's called Bankruptcy, How to Survive and Prosper. And it's her story about how she managed through bankruptcy. So I would encourage you to perhaps get her book and put it into your library and read it so that you can get yourself back on track, because she did, and she has some very good pointers in how to deal with a situation like this. So it's not a matter of my approving anything. I think what you've done because you felt that that's what you needed to do. Now that the decision has been made, it is how you make this work for you in a way that enables you to turn your circumstances into the direction that you want. So it's dealing with the present, dealing with what's right in front of you. No games, no gimmicks, just taking care of your responsibilities.
Yes, Don, the hardest part, because I'm a very responsible person, this was a very hard thing to do. It was a very hard thing to do.
I understand.
You know, I made a lot of mistakes, but it was beyond my control. I didn't see it coming, and I really didn't see it. So, I'm sorry, Donna. What happened in the beginning? I had my speaker on, and I was real loud, and Seth came in to tell me. Did I hear you right? Did you say everything? I'm on the right track?
Well, I just said you take the moment where you are right now. You have made the decision. Now it is time to pull your life together. That is why I recommended this book to you, because I think that it would be very informative for you. And it's called Bankruptcy, How to Survive and Prosper by Leanne Ryan. So anyway, she's been a guest on my show. Yeah, she's been a guest on my show, and you could even listen to the interview, because all the shows are archived. So you could even listen to the interview to hear her comments and to, you know, find out more information about her. But all you need to do, dear, is realize this is a new day. You've made a decision. You've taken an action that you felt was necessary, and now it's just time to get on with your life.
Yes. Oh, Donna, it took me a year to come to this decision, and every single day was a torment, because I felt like filing would be like I'm a failure, and I just felt like everything I worked for is gone. But I don't know. It happened for a reason. I have to find the lesson here. But I could see if I was irresponsible, but I'm a very responsible person.
No, sometimes life happens, and what you do is you do what you do, and this is an option for you to pick up and to move on. So you don't worry about the past, but I really encourage you to get her book.
Yes. I'm going to go check it out now at Barnes & Noble. I think we have, I'm sorry, what's her name again, Donna?
Leanne Ryan. L-E-I-G-H-A-N-N Ryan.
Okay. I'm going to go check it out and see. Maybe Barnes & Noble may have it.
Who knows? But I would just suggest you do that, because I think it would help you quite a bit. And I want to thank you for your call. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be taking a break shortly, but I wanted to share something with you. By the way, I want to thank you for sending these emails with this wonderful information. I got an email from Mary Ellen. She said, one of our friend's sons is an entomologist. He's an insect expert, and he's been telling them that there's an epidemic of bed bugs now occurring in America. Oh, they are having a horrible time with it in Seattle. And the news reports that several stores in New York City have had to close due to bed bug problems, as well as a complete mall in New Jersey. Now, he says that since much of our clothing, sheets, towels, etc., now come from companies outside of America, even the most expensive stores sell foreign clothing from China, Indonesia, etc. The bed bugs are coming in on the clothing, as these countries do not consider them a problem. So this is what this entomologist is recommending. If you buy any new clothing, even underwear and socks, sheets, towels, etc., and you bring them into your home and put them in your clothes dryer for at least 20 minutes. The heat will kill them and their eggs. So again, any clothing, towels, whatever you bring in, put them in your clothes dryer for 20 minutes and the heat will kill them and their eggs. Do not purchase clothes and hang them in the closet first. It does not matter what the price range is of the clothing or if the outfit comes from the most expensive store known in the United States. They still get shipments from these countries, and the bugs can come in a box of scarves or anything else for that matter. And that is the reason why so many stores, many of them clothing stores, have had to shut down in New York City and other places. Again, in Seattle, they are having a horrible time with this. There are students that have had to move out of apartments because the bed bug problem is so heavy, and there was one apartment unit that was renting to young people, and they said, if you get a new mattress, you are not allowed to, there was something about mattresses that they had to go through. They could not bring them into the apartment building because the bed bug problem is so bad in Seattle. So they said, all you need to do is bring one item into the house that has bugs or eggs, and you'll go to hell and back trying to get rid of them. And this entomologist travels all over the country as an advisor to many of the stores regarding prevention because they don't want to have a problem. This is something that often is not realized. So just remember, even if you are traveling, if you are going to be in another country and buying clothing, you may need to have it shipped so that it can, you know, either be taken and put into a dryer in home or, you know, maybe putting stuff into a dry cleaner's. And that's sort of scary. I've never known of any problems with that myself in my entire lifetime, but this is happening today. And a lot of people are seeing big, big problems, like I said, right here in Seattle. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. We'll be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, I know the weekend is coming up, but I wanted to let you know who's going to be on the show next week. We're going to be talking about the Wiser Field Guide to Witches on Monday. That's right. And then Twilight of the Gods with Giorgio Tsakalos, A Resilient Life Dealing with Rheumatoid Arthritis, Kate Elton, Healing by David Elliott, a phenomenally well-written book. And then The Idiot's Guide to Identity Theft. You're not an idiot if you go through identity theft. This is not fun, but it is a fabulous book. You're going to want to know about this. Just a great lineup of people. And, of course, if ever you want to know who's coming on the show, all you have to do is check right in here at bbsradio.com, station number one. And all the upcoming guests are listed, so you'll be able to check everything out and see if you want to tune in on that day. And also tell your friends about it, because we've got a lot of people with a lot of knowledge. And if you miss the show, check out the archives. You're going to be able to listen to it whenever it's convenient for you. And I want to thank Mary Ellen for sending me that information. And by golly, if you have a special recipe or a special point of information that you think that I would be interested in and would like to share on the air, send it along. Also, don't forget, January 1, 2011 is the deadline for submitting a story to me about paranormal experiences that perhaps you have had. I'd love to hear your story, whether it's about a ghost, whether it is something that you know about a member of families, unique experiences out of the body, astral projection of any type. I'm very much interested in that. So give me the information, write it out for me, send it to me via email to donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. It really is a very good idea because we're going to be reaching a lot of people, I think, with stories that will make a difference in their lives because of what you have shared. So, again, deadline is January 1, 2011. I'm aiming for 100 stories. I hope yours will be one of them. Okay, now I'm going to be in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm going to be flying up there, actually Fairbanks first, then Anchorage. I'll be flying up on the 12th, and then I will be in Anchorage as of the 15th. So Fairbanks for a couple of days, then in Anchorage. And if you would like to meet with me, have a private session with me, I will be available. Just call my office, 800-872-8852. New York City will be my destination after that. And I will be in New York at the National Publicity Summit interviewing people for being on the show. Usually there's about 100 authors that are there. So it's always an exciting event. And, of course, I love New York City. So I'll be there for a few days, available also for private appointments with people. Give me a call again at 800-872-8852 if you would like to meet with me while I'm there. Now, I wanted to give you a few points of information that I came across, and this really brought back vividly an interview that I had had relative to the tobacco essence, and it was relating to Alzheimer's. Well, let me share this little bit of information first. Useless cigarette butts. Now, those are about as appealing as garbage. Well, Chinese researchers have found that there's an extract from cigarette butts when it's submerged in water that can prevent steel from corroding. Now, this comes from a report that was put in USA Today. So there are recycling initiatives that are in place. Well, let me give you another point of information that came out in one of my interviews regarding tobacco. There was a book I did an interview on called The Thousand Mile Stare. It's about Alzheimer's. One of the things that was mentioned in the book is that one member of this man's family was told by someone, if you smoke, your brain is going to clear. There is something in tobacco, and they don't have a clue about this, that actually will bring a clarity into the brain of an Alzheimer's patient. Now, I'm not saying it clears it away permanently, but this man had been told by someone, if you smoke before you speak, because this gentleman was in his 30s, and he would do that before he would do a presentation because he was speaking regarding Alzheimer's since it was a genetic factor passed along in his family. So here you have some points about tobacco. We know how bad it is to smoke. We know the effects. I had a father that died of lung cancer. I mean, I've just heard so many sad stories of people throughout the years regarding the damage that commercial cigarettes do to the human body. I know that for a fact. Yet, two points. There is something in tobacco that actually chemically affects the brain in a way that perhaps could assist people that have Alzheimer's. What is it? We don't know. Chinese researchers find out something about tobacco that keeps steel from rusting. Well, think about that, folks. You don't want to be smoking that stuff and putting it into your body. But these are things that perhaps could give the tobacco industry, instead of creating something that it's so negative in one sense, they could have a whole new development area that would be eco-friendly, if you will, and make this world a better place for a number of different environments, but not in the way typically it's been done. Isn't that what it takes? Being an observer and thinking about things outside of the box? There's so much in this world we don't understand. When we find out that something has a negative effect, how can that effect be turned around? What can be done that can make something that is harmful in one form beneficial in another? Snake poison can kill you, but also can save your life. And you know, that's pretty much the way it is with just about everything in life. It has two or three or four or maybe a million sides to it. And that is why we need to be willing to learn. We need to be willing to listen. We need to be willing to ask, is there something I'm missing? Or how can something be done differently? How can we improve something? That's what I think the American spirit has always been so good at demonstrating. Now, there is something called gout. Well, I'm going to have to talk about it later. My goodness, we're out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, have a fabulous day, and we'll be talking with you soon. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a wonderful, wonderful time. Talk with you soon. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.